off with the nugget.
You can tell how big a person is. You can tell how big a person is by what it takes. You can tell how big a person is by what it takes to discourage him or her.
So if you're discouraged real quick, you don't know how large you are, or how big you are, or how strong you are. Okay. Father, we're praising you. We just give you thanks as we look to your word, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding may be open, Father God, to even greater revelation, Father God, to each and every individual, and how to apply your word in our lives to become more mature, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Okay. Enjoy the rain this morning, this afternoon. It came down a little bit down here. Well, rain's a good sign. Okay. It means we'll have strawberries this year. Okay. I always start this way. In today's society, many individuals want to be in the in crowd. You know, they want to be in certain places. They apply to different clubs, organizations, fraternities, or associations. They are hoping to be accepted by those that they have high regard for. Okay, and when they have been selected, they strive to become the very best, to be an outstanding member at the highest status level. I mean, you get in that position, you want to be, you know, a good member, a good standing member, or whatever you want to call it. The Bible declares that the children of this world, let's go to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, and we want to go to the 16th chapter. And we will look at the 8th verse, Luke 16:8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation are wiser than the children of light. Wow, that's pretty heavy. These are haunting or daunting words to Christians. It's challenging to us. It's almost an indictment to believers not becoming or doing what we are called to do. I mean, he says, hey, the children of darkness are more successful than what you are doing. Well, that's pretty heavy. So let's go further into the New Testament and find the book of John, chapter 15. In John, chapter 15. In John, chapter 15, looking at verse 5, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Oh, glory to God, we're branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So we are branches on the vine that need to what? Bring forth much fruit. Glory to God. Okay, so are we doing what we need to be doing as a branch? Let's find out something here. Let's go to right after the book of after you have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, and you want to go to the next book, which is Song of Solomon. So Song of Solomon, we want to go find the first chapter of Song of Solomon. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. We are to bring forth much fruit.
Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We're going to read the whole verse of chapter 6, but we're going to look at the very end of it. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keepers of the vineyards. They made me keepers of the vineyards. Okay. They're keepers of the vineyards. Okay. We're the branches, right? Okay. Look at that last part of that verse there. But my own vineyard I have not kept. In other words, I haven't been doing well in my own vineyard. I'm doing something well other places, but my own vineyard I have neglected. One translation says, my own vineyard I have neglected. Wow. Jesus says, he's the vine and we are the branches. And it says, I neglected myself in this area. Okay. Now back up to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 24, and we'll see what a neglected vineyard looks like. Are you ready? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful. Well, if you haven't been taking care of your vineyard, you're slothful. And by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. Uh-oh. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and that covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Wow, that sounds like it's pretty bad shape. It says, because we're not watching our own vineyard, watching our own lives, in other words, things are overgrown with thistles and nettles, and the wall is broken down, and all that other bad stuff happens. So how do you keep, how do you keep a vineyard? Okay, when I was a young man, during the summertime, I'm still in high school, summertime I got to work in the vineyards in Delano, California. And there are certain things you have to do. Well, when I went there in the summertime, that's when we picked the grapes, but there are other things that need to be done. One of the things that need to be done to a vineyard is pruning. You prune off, or even today, we're entering spring, and a lot of the trees, there are some dead branches on trees. You need to prune them. You need to get rid of the dead stuff, because the dead stuff is not going to produce any fruit. So there's certain things in our lives, in our vineyard, that we need to prune. There's some dead things in our lives that we need to remove. You follow me? Okay. Some of you are saying, I don't have any dead spots. Yeah, come on. Okay. John, going back to John chapter 15. In John chapter 15. Okay. Looking at John chapter 15, verse 2 this time. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Okay, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. In other words, this branch is dead. We just got to get rid of this thing. So when if you're in the tree business and you get a call, somebody says, I got a fruit tree. I want it pruned. I need to get rid of these dead branches so that new branches will spring forth, that fruit can come on them. You know what? I've got a tree back in my backyard. I've got two trees in the backyard. The one that the wife cursed and the other one is just dying. Okay. The one that both need pruning. There's a lot of, when we had the heavy rains about a month ago, real heavy rains and the wind. Remember how the wind, I told you my fence went down. But also a couple of these branches, just big branches like this, just
snap because they were dead. So those things. And there's other branches up there, twigs and everything needs to be pruned. So there's areas in our lives, there are dead things in our lives that are no good to us. We need to prune them. God says, prune them that things that will happen real good. So he says that, and we'll turn now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Where does he want to? I believe we're not talking about any of us here, but, you know. Matthew chapter 5 this time, and we want to go to verse 29.
Okay. And if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 30, and if the right hand offend thee, and cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that the whole body should be cast into hell. In other words,
there's areas in our life that are no good, that need to be just completely cut off. That's the pruning we need to do in our lives. And each and every one of us know where those areas in our lives are, okay? The second thing that you do in a vineyard is not only pruning, then you purge. You purge. There's a purging or a cleansing. They go through the field and they... when I was a kid... my folks had a little strawberry farm, 5 acres worth, and you would have to spray the plants. And we had a little backpack, and there was a little crank, and it would pull the chemicals out, the dust, and it would flow, and it purged anything that was not supposed to be there. It had to cleanse, you know, bugs all the time. It purged them, and then we'd kill them, Lord, okay? So there's a purging, a cleaning. The purging in our lives, we need to purge the sinful, not only get rid of the dead things that don't belong there, but there's purging, that means cleansing, that means removing the sin in our lives. This is purging, okay? We will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 first. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, all things, you know, there's certain things that are displeasing to the Lord, and we need to just kind of get rid of it, okay? I call it sinful, but might be displeasing to the Lord. So we need to purge ourselves of these things. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, on this same thought, looking at verse, it gets the same thing. Verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but... all things are not expedient, for all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So we want to edify the Lord, not bring things down. Okay, that's purging. The fourth thing that you do to keep your vineyard going is you provide provision. There needs a provision for your crops, your vineyard. You need to bring nourishment. You need to fertilize it and so forth. And in our lives, we need to keep ourselves physically fit. Going back to Matthew chapter 6, or going to Matthew chapter 6, I should say. In Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So provision. When we go before the Lord, that's giving us provision. It's giving us a spiritual lift. Amen. Glory to God. And, of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is a provision. We need to know what the word of God's telling us. Find out what it is. And then as this gives us the proper provision or nourishment for our vineyard, our personal vineyard that we are. And the fourth thing that we need to do for our vineyard is found in Psalms 139. I know we're jumping around quite a bit. Look at verse 23 and 24. That's Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way to everlasting. We need to have this protection. We need to have this God's insight to show us what's going on in our lives. Sometimes you might be reading in the Word of God, and all of a sudden you see something. Wow! I didn't know that was wrong. I've got to stop that in my life. Hello. None of you have ever found that. But, you know, there's certain things that we need to, you know, have this protection. We have to be on the lookout for things in our lives. Okay, there's that protection. Now that we have our vineyard ready for production. Glory to God, you have all these things going. Amen. Yet there is another area that we need to tend to, okay? The fruit. What kind of fruit are we supposed to have? So it's told to us in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. This is the fruit that we need to be in our vineyard, that we need to be producing. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Wow. Why'd they put that next one in there? Long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. Oh, glory to God. And verse 24, and they that love Christ have crucified the flesh with all the affections of lust. Reading from the Amplified. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper. Forbearance. Kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, contentment. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. Wow. And to those who belong to Christ, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions, appetites, and desires. So this is what the fruit that we're supposed to produce in our vineyard. This is what God has called us to have. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But that's not all. We've talked about all these things, and we're still... The Bible tells us that there's something else that attacks us. We will find it in the book of Song of Solomon. Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, and Song of Solomon. Okay, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. You're protecting your vineyard, but there's certain things that kind of just little things kind of go gnaw at you. Song of Solomon, chapter 2,
Verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Oh, there we are. And our vines have tender grapes.
When the little foxes, they're the ones that get under. They crawl under, they dig under the fence work and all that type of stuff and come up there and gnaw. They can't jump up and get the grapes. If you go to Delano or any place, or even up and down the coast there, if you were to go into the vineyards or the rows, you see that they have a wire about so high, and that your vines are comes out of the ground, and the branches grow on the vines. But then the grapes are growing off these things. They only hang, well, maybe 2 or 3 feet down. Then it's open. And the little foxes can't get up there. They're jumping, trying to get those nice, juicy grapes, those wonderful things that you have, you know, in your life, the joy, long-suffering. They kind of bite it and kind of get rid of it. So they can't do that, so they gnaw down at the base of the thing. So if they can gnaw it down, it drops the whole thing down. They gnaw the base down, and so they get to the fruit. They get to your fruit.
Okay, so we need to get rid of the little foxes. Okay, so what are the little foxes? 2 Corinthians. The little foxes in your life. The little foxes in my life. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. From the Amplified, therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles the body and spirit. So there are certain things that will contaminate us. And they fall into three categories. Things that we think, things that we say, and things that we do. Those are the three categories that these fall into. These little foxes spoil the vine. They rob our lives of the fruit. Little things mean a lot. Little things mean a lot. Little foxes not only affect Christians, but they also affect non-Christians. Okay? The way to deal with little foxes is not to capture them, but to kill them. Okay? Going back to Galatians, or going through, yeah, going back, forward to Galatians one more time. Galatians chapter 5 this time. Again, verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections of the lusts. So we need to kill them. In other words, we got to remove these things that are kind of gnawing, these small things that kind of gnaw at us, kind of work their way, trying to remove the fruit. And Romans chapter 6 also tells us, Romans chapter 6, hang on. Verse 11, Romans 6, 11. Likewise, reckon yourself also to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we need to be dead to these things. Glory to God. Okay, so what are some of the little foxes that gnaw at you and me? Well, I'll put it this way. Gnaw at me, I'm not going to put you in any category, but I'm going to put all these things upon me, okay? You might see yourself in one or two of these. So let's find the book of Proverbs one more time. In the book of Proverbs, we find ourselves. I said I wouldn't do that. In the book of Proverbs, I find myself in chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, looking at verses 10, 11. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little of folding of hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. From the Amplified. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to lie down. So will your poverty come like a robber, or one who travels with slowly but surely approaching steps, and your want like an armed man making you helpless. So, in other words, a little sleep, a little slumber. It's talking about laziness. How many are lazy? Sometimes, you know, no, nobody's ever here lazy. You know, laziness leads to poverty. Laziness leads to, you know, compromise. We need to get busy and get rid of the little lazy foxes in our lives. Okay? Oh, glory to God. I'm glad you're all with me. Let's now go to the second one. That's laziness. Let's go to the book of, remember right after Proverbs, we find the book of Ecclesiastes. This time we want to go to the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Verse 1, dead flies. Oh boy. Dead flies cause the ointment of the hypocrisy to send forth a stinking savor, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wise and honor. From the Amplified, dead flies cause the ointment of the perfumer to putrefy and send forth a vile odor. So does a little folly in him who values for wisdom outweighs wisdom and honor. In other words, sometimes we allow ourselves to get into a stinky situation, and it wrecks your reputation. Wrecks your reputation. Your reputation, you know, they know you're a Christian, and all of a sudden somebody's in the office, or somebody's there's a crowd of your friends, you know, talking, and they're saying some off-color jokes, and you're laughing with them when the punchline comes. That kind of wrecks your reputation as a Christian, okay? Or your foolish deeds, you know, doing something stupid or having an ungodly attitude. Oh, look at that stupid old man there, he barely walks. I mean, when you do say things like that, your reputation shot because people know that, quote, you're a Christian, and you're supposed to be good and joyful, blessing, and but you're just going out there, just, you know, raising havoc about other people. Your reputation shot. You know, if that's a Christian, so am I, because I do the same thing, you know. So that's not. We need to guard our reputation. Don't let those little foxes destroy your reputation. It's easier to guard your reputation than to restore one. In other words, you get yourself in a bad place, and then you're having to rebuild your reputation. Okay. Let's now go to the New Testament. Let's see another little fox that can trouble you. And we want to find the. We've said Matthew chapter 6, New Testament, one more time. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read the whole verse, but it's the last part of the verse that we want to recognize. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Here's the part. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. We know that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to have stronger faith. He says, each and every one of us, according to Romans chapter 12, Each and every one of us has been given the measure of faith. All of us have been given the measure. And if it's even a grain the size of mustard seed, that mustard seed faith can move mountains. So we all have faith. We just need to develop it and nurture it. Amen. And take the opportunities to increase our faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So we need to increase our faith that way. Ready to hear the word. And in Jude chapter 20, it says that we need also to develop the habit of prayer. So faith and prayer, we need to develop these to be strong. Thank you for the amens out there. Glory to God. Okay. Next one, besides this little fox that nibbles at us, this one is quite prevalent in the body of Christ, I would say. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 2. That's Revelation chapter 2. And this message is to the church. Revelation chapter 2, looking at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. There's that little fox. Nibble, nibble, nibble. Just kind of removing your first love. According to Matthew chapter 22, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. I know we're in Matthew. Boy, bet you're happy when Pastor Peggy's up here. She didn't give you machine gun. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, that's Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. We need to reestablish this great value and measure that's been given unto us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Don't lose your first love. That's that little fox trying to have you compromising God's word. Okay. 1 Corinthians. We'll look at another little fox. 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, from the Amplified. About the condition of your church, your boasting is not good. Indeed, it is most unseemly and entirely out of place. Do you not know that just a little leaven will ferment the whole lump of dough? In other words, a little sin in one life. We cannot tolerate a little sin in our life. Sin is a cancer of the spirit. Sin can destroy the soul. Since we're in 1 Corinthians, go to the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, the little leaven. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Verse 33, Amplified. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations corrupt and deprive good manners and morals and character. So we need to watch out. These little foxes, he's just a friend. He's a friend in the world, but I'm going to witness to them and they're going to change. Well, oftentimes, if you're not prepared for it, you're pulled down. Oh, man, why is it always me up here? I have to say all these things. Okay. And if you're not a leader, you are a follower. And oftentimes, if you're in a group,
and you're not strong, you will follow the group to do something wrong. It happened to me. I ain't going to tell you what I did,
but it happened to me. I got it. They knew that I was a Christian, but, you know, they all decided they were going to do this thing. I said, oh, man, but I want to be part of the in crowd, so I went with them, and, you know, not good, not good. So,
a little sin is not good for us. Watch your associations. I mean, you think you might be strong, you know, I'll change them. More than likely, you're going to be pulled down. And then it's very hard to reestablish yourself because, hey, then they start saying, well, you did this with us, you know, go ahead and you can do this too.
And, you know, it's hard to back out of something like that because they already know that you've fallen. And you already got the weight, lead weight on your feet. You're going down for the third time. So be careful. Know your limits. If you think you're strong, be careful. Don't associate with those that you know are going to be harmful to you. Hello. Okay, that's the leaven. Little sin is going to bring corrupt communications to you or corrupt your good manners. Okay. Since we're in the New Testament, let's go follow through on James chapter 3. James chapter 3. In James chapter 3. Verse 5 and 6. Even so the tongue is a little member, and that boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. The tongue, your tongue, my tongue, if it's not bridled correctly, it rattles. How many of you ever been in, boy, here we go again. How many have been in a situation that you know, some of your past passwords show up. I mean, you know, past bad language kind of, I mean, just pops up. Anybody ever? No, I didn't think so. Never been. But that's a situation. Sometimes your tongue is loose at the wrong time. You need to watch our tongues. Bite it. Bite your tongue if you have to. That might not be just some bad words that may come flowing out. You might just say, well, you know, I know something about so-and-so. Would you like to hear? So you start gossiping. That's still in the tongue realm, okay? We need to watch ourselves on things like that. Backbiting, slander, you know. Words hurt and destroy. Okay. That little thing that we used to say as kids, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. Wrong. Words will hurt you more than sticks and stones. The bruises of sticks and stones will eventually subside, but the words that people speak to you or you speak to others will haunt them. They can haunt people. I mean, I can think of some things that haunt me still, what other kids have said. And you might have said something or had something said about you, too. So words do play a very important, and if you need to, we need to wash our minds out, okay? Glory to God. Okay, let's go to the book of the Z section of your Bible, Old Testament. And you want to find Zechariah. That's Zechariah chapter 4. We're talking about little foxes here that we don't even think of, but they're there to compromise our walk with God. That's Zechariah chapter 4. I'm going to read from the Amplified. That's Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Who with reason despised the day of small beginnings? For these seven shall rejoice, and they shall see the plummet of the hand of Zerubbabel. Okay, that's not what I wanted right there, but okay. This verse here is showing little gratitude. We need to have some gratitude that people show or give us. We need to give gratitude to those that help us out.
We need to be wise to things that mean a lot to us. If someone says, "Hey, you know, you did a great job," thank you. You know, have some gratitude or show gratitude for what is given to you or what is bestowed upon you or what or, you know. Let's look at let's get a better view of it in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So we need to be thankful or have some gratitude. Glory to God. Following along the same line, find 1 Thessalonians chapter, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 18, in everything give thanks. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Have some gratitude. Okay. So that's a little fox that will harm us if we are not going. Well, I've got to hurry here. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, looking at verse 3 through 5, that's Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In other words, we need to have respect for one another. Glory to God. Pride goes before destruction. People who fail to show respect for others are prideful. And it leads to the little fox of self-destruction. So we need to have respect for others. Here is a good one. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. Once again, to the book of Proverbs. These are little foxes that nibble at you or us. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 24, Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. In other words, procrastination is a fox that you don't want. Putting off something, that's the devil's sucker punch for you to put off something. He says, by and by I'll do it. You know, I'll do it by and by. I'll get to it a little bit later. So today is the day of salvation. Your destiny is before you now. Your choice is now. Your eternity is before you now. Well, you know, a lot of people say, well, I've got plenty of time. You know. No. Putting things off is the sucker punch, okay?
There's people, another little foxes say, people say, I can't do that. What people are really saying, I can't says that what people are saying, but not what they really mean. They're not saying I can't, that means I won't. I must give this up or give that up. I can't do it. Really, they're saying I won't give it up. Okay. How about, there's no use in trying. There's another one. There's no use in trying. This person is not going to get very far. There's no use in trying. I can't pass this. I'm not going to do that. So they're not going to. It's always worth a try when Jesus is involved. You need to try. I can do all things through Christ. Not I can't. Or how about this little fox? I forgot. You can find that in Mark chapter 6, verses 37 through 44. Jesus had just fed the multitudes, and earlier, and then he's asking again where we're going to get the food, and they forgot that Jesus provided for them. So oftentimes we forget things. We should not forget things, because God has the power to do it, and he's initially given us the power to also do things. Okay, when we say I forgot, we forget our Christian responsibilities. Oh, I forgot. I forgot. I should do that. We forget our Christian responsibility and our Christian life, and our Christian life faster than we do anything else. In other words, we forget about, I'm supposed to do that. I forgot. Just what are you called to do? Oh, I just forgot. What are you called to do? I don't know. I forgot. Well, going to all the world, preach the gospel. Okay. Another one, a little fox that gets in the way is, I don't care. Have we ever said that? I don't care what the teacher said. I don't have to study this stuff. It's not going to give me anything. I'm not going to be able to use this after I got out of this math class when I get out there. Hello. You don't care. It shows you your attitude. You're not going to care about anything else in your life. We need to have some. We need to get upset about it and do care. Okay, okay. Little foxes can spoil the vine, as we see. Little foxes in our spiritual life can also do us great harm. But we just looked at a few of these little foxes. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, a righteous person is called a tree of life. You're a tree of life. Yes, there are dangers in life, but we need to defend against them. Defend against these foxes that come nibbling. Prepare to make your stand. When you hear the little foxes start to nibble, get rid of them. Amen. Choose to guard against the little foxes. Title, Little Foxes. Okay, I overran myself tonight. Okay, let's all stand. Anybody need prayer? If not, we'll just dismiss, and you can get home at sometime. You don't have to wait for the kids to get up. Thank you for being patient. Father, we praise you. We just give you thanks. I thank you, Lord, that there are little foxes out there, Father God, that have been trying to disrupt, Father God, our vineyard, Father God, the fruit that you've given us in our life, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that we will guard the fruit, Father God, that you've given us, and chase off and destroy the foxes that try to bring us down. So, Father, we praise you. Just give us thanks. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you made. We thank you, Lord, that you give us each a good night's rest for tomorrow's endeavors, Father God. We praise you for your blessings on us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.